As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Time to play the game.
Well, you talk WrestleMania. We don't have to. But there is an NFL draft that starts today at 7 o'clock. And we are joined by the guys that do more homework than anybody in the history of school when it comes to the draft. Chris Unicero and Jay Binkley join us now. Fellas, you got here, finally. I'm sure it's like about time. Is that the attitude? Or you want to milk it out a little bit more?
You know, it's been fun. I mean, the whole season. I mean, it's always draft season. And tomorrow, like, it's looking at next year's guys.
Who's going number one next year to Arch Manning?
It'd be awful for Arch next year.
That is true. Arch Manning is already on the clock
for the number one pick.
Who's going to be the team that is awful for Arch going into the 2025 NFL season?
See who spent the most money in free agency, because typically
that's usually who it is. The Titans, Bears.
Look at all the money the Titans spend making the trade for Snead and all that. They end up with the first pick on the clock.
So the Bears will have the first pick, and they'll take Arch Manning. And
now the Bears have been very busy, man. They stole Tooney and everything.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They stole him. I mean, you know, they traded for him.
I don't know about that, Dustman.
It's a guard, man. Like, I'm fine. You know,
the Chiefs have four positions that are the highest paid in the NFL for those positions, which is crazy
about
to think
five.
Of. About, well, with Trey Smith when he gets his, but Butker for kickers. Chris Jones, defensive lineman, Creed Humphrey for centers, and then about to be Trey Smith. So that's insane.
All right, Unicero, you've been dealing with this guy now for the better part of a year.
Trying to figure this thing out.
So what are you feeling tonight going in? Not just for the Chiefs, but overall draft. Are we going to see one of these drafts that's exciting, or are we going to see everybody just kind of stand where they are and stand pat?
I think there's going to be a lot of teams in the top 10 trying to trade back.
Right, but nobody wants to trade up.
No, nobody wants to trade up. And like, because like, you're hearing reports that some teams are trying to see if they can get into like top five so they can get like Ashton Jeanty or Travis Hunter or someone like that. But like, I think pretty much the top three picks are pretty much locked in. I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking to move back into like the teens, because that seems to be where that sweet spot is, like 10 to 25. Mm. I think that's really probably the best spot for round one.
You guys asked me over under on trades 3.5. I mean, we're going to have probably two before this thing even starts.
Give me them.
Well, I think honestly the Bears might be in consideration with the Patriots to move up for Jeanty. If the Jags don't go there, there could be a couple more trades. And then you'll see some in the 20s. Some teams positioned, maybe the Bills at 30 trade up to get the defensive lineman they want. Maybe the Chiefs, you know, trade up as well. But I think we're looking at least four.
So is it a player?
The average is six. The average trade in the first round is six.
Because Golgi's numbers, 4.5 is what the number's at tonight.
4.5 is where it's at now. But the average trades in the first round is six.
So
but
if the Jags do trade with the Bears, do they send, like, ETN to Chicago and the pick, or does he just still lay on the team?
No.
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh my god,
they're gonna want picks. They're not gonna want to get a running back.
Well, I mean, I know they're gonna get the pick, but will they have like a package deal? Because I mean, ETN's kind of like, it kind of fell apart last
year. If you're
the
Bears, like, why would you trade for ETN? Can move up and get
the Patriots are the ones they're looking at, because the Patriots are willing to build and stockpile picks. That's the one, because that puts them right in front of Jacksonville getting four.
Right.
If they move, because four is gonna be open for business. Mm. Where the Patriots are, so
is Will Campbell is
looked upon
for
as that guy, but Will Campbell's not the guy you want to take it for. So that's who they're slotted to take, who they should take. As we went by the board, Will Campbell, short arm Will Campbell They'll be listening to teams wanting to trade.
That's probably why the Patriots are looking to move down, so they can still get Will Campbell, but also get some more picks.
More picks, yeah. And that's what you want to do. The problem is you just don't have that number one guy that everybody wants, or the pick that you've got to have this guy to turn your roster around. That's why everybody wants to move down. In a year where everybody wants to move down, again, Carrington always talks about the say it out loud test. Everybody wants to move down because we're not great players. So if everybody wants to move down, how are you going to get some joker to try to move up?
And when have you seen quarterbacks, when we see these top 50 and top 100 boards come out from like Daniel Jeremiah and whatnot, and you all of a sudden you see Cam Orr to like 8th or 16th. Like, when's the last time you saw the actual number one quarterback in the draft being looked upon as 15th or 20th in the big boards like a Cam Orr is? Because usually they sit there at number one.
And that's the fundamental problem that I have ultimately with the draft, is that we've allowed this thing, whatever we want to call it, event, to be dictated essentially by Mel Kiper, and everybody falls into line and listens to what he says. And he's got this quarterback ranked number one. They all put the quarterback
Bob, it's back off.
But I mean, like, I've never seen an event where everybody's beholden to the media. Like, everybody rips the media, but then the NFL draft comes along. Everybody goes, well, the media is saying this, the media, like, that's who the bell cow is, I guess you could say, for all of this are a couple of draft nicks. And if you're the Tennessee Titans, you're going to set yourself back, I think, by picking Cam Ward. You've got to take the best available player at number one.
And they're sitting with Will Levis right there. I mean, they've been great in their evaluations. Great.
I know that, but that's what I'm saying. Like Abdul Carter is the number one player in the draft. Just take the number one player in the draft.
I disagree with that.
Okay, tell me why.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that is the Travis best Hunter player in this draft.
I think he's going to be the biggest bust in this draft. But again, that's where I come from.
You're Macker on that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but you're a top five pick. You got to go out there and you got to dominate, right? And so it's easy to be a bust when you're a top
When's
five
pick. When's the last time somebody was offensive and defensive player in college football and the Heisman Trophy winner?
Well, how many Heisman Trophy winners have success in the NFL, too?
Derrick Henry's pretty good.
Okay.
Daniel's pretty good. Heisman Trophy winners. Joe Burrow.
Lamar's pretty good.
Joey B.
Yeah, there's
Baker's decent quarterback.
Baker turning around.
He's turning around in Tampa.
I don't feel it, right? I just don't feel it for whatever reason. And we'll see. Maybe he'll prove me wrong and prove you right. And that's
Mark
fine,
Ingram
right?
And Johnny Manziel, the last two that probably didn't pan out.
Ingram had a decent career.
He had a decent career.
Manziel was obviously a bust.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. So you think it's Hunter. I think it's Abdul Carter. Either way, if you're Tennessee, it's not Cam Ward. And so you're going to take this quarterback who probably should be a mid-first round pick, but because everybody says you got to take a quarterback, they're going to go and they're going to reach for a guy who may not be valued enough to be that number one overall pick. And to me, that continues to set your franchise back.
I think a part of that is also quarterback is such a position that's hard to hit on.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I mean, they went out and they got Will Levis. Me and Bink were not fans of Will Levis.
But we hated him the whole year. We're just sitting back here in Kansas City doing a podcast. These dudes are bringing him in and evaluating him. It's like, this dude sucks, man.
Yeah.
And then they get him.
Yeah, so it's like you kind of look at the situation as like, you don't get a lot of time in the NFL today to build a winning franchise if you're a general manager. So it's like, Cam Ward, I think he's probably like mid-first round in terms of like his overall talent, but he's the best quarterback. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't know about great elite quarterback, but I think he'll be good enough to where you could build around him if you put the right pieces around him, and you don't get a lot of time. So it's like you got to find your guy and you got to build around him as quick as you can, because if you don't do that in like 3 years, you're gone and you're looking for another job.
And in all fairness, we've liked Cam Ward for a long time, even before this year.
Yeah, back when it was Washington State, he was Bink's guy at 23. Ward.
But you never know what you're going to get with these guys, whether you like them or not, whether they're going to pan out or not. That's the biggest question, because half these guys fail at the next level. We know that. So.
But I give the Tennessee Titans credit, though. They go out and sign Tyler Lockett last night to give that veteran receiver a pretty big name wide receiver for Cam Ward. Now, that was a nice kind of quiet move last night by them to get the kind of their Sammy Watkins type guy for their young quarterback.
It was smart to get rid of A.J. Brown, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It worked out well for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we talk about Cam Ward, and what's the story with Shaur Sanders in your guys' opinion? Is he still going to be a first-round pick?
Yeah, I think so. I think
Pittsburgh at 21.
Maybe the Saints at 9. Maybe the Saints trade back a little bit and still take him. But like I said before, it's like quarterback is a position that you got to at least be decent at. I mean, we just saw Sam Darnold got $33 million a year. Mm. Like, I'm not a big Sam Darnold believer. I know his numbers were really nice last year. I think a lot of quarterbacks would
except
look good.
Except for the end. Except when it counted.
Except for the end.
Last
but like,
eight
still,
quarters, he was terrible.
He saw those ghosts.
Still good numbers, though. So, like, that got him $33 million a year. Like, Shaur Sanders wouldn't be a first-round pick in last year's draft, most likely. But because the scarcity of the position and because there is a lot of value at that position, even for a mediocre player at that position, it makes sense that someone would take him mid, you know, somewhere in the middle of the first round.
Jackson Darko first round?
I think it's possible. I would not take him in the first round.
I think he does because they're starved for quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. See, and it's that's like you're talking about
Sam Darnold got the money. He knew he was. And he played like crap down the stretch. He did. Sam Darnold was not the guy.
He was not.
You knew he was getting money because everybody gets money if you can play quarterback.
Right.
And that's the way the NFL is. So I do feel Jackson Dart does end up going in the first round.
Do you think somebody like the Giants trade back into the first round to get him a la Lamar a few years ago?
You know, they might, but I do feel that there will be at least three quarterbacks. That kind of stinks for the Chiefs, though, because last year you had those six matching that 83 draft going, you know, in the top 12. And that takes positions away that need to be taken away off the board when all the quarterback classes are great because it leaves better players there sitting where the Chiefs are drafting. The eight offensive tackles that went last year, not going to have that this year. The seven wide receivers in the first round. It was just a really weird and cool draft, to be honest with you.
I'm glad you put your dip in because we get to the Chiefs on the other side, which is where it really matters in this town, where they pick
at 31. Let's dip into it, Binkley.
That's Binkley, Unicero, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back into it in the 9 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey. We're joined by the Character Concerns crew, Chris Unicero and Jay Binkley. We'll all be at the landing tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Those Royals, man, they're gonna third year in a row for you guys.
Man, he was nuts. He was so bad texting me this morning.
We all got the text. Yeah.
It's three straight years.
All right, so get your phone out because I want to make sure you got the same text that I got from Binkley at 6:09. Now our draft show is going to be effed because of the game. Is that what yours says?
Let me check.
I think I was kinder on that one.
Let me see.
Well, darn, Chris, it happened.
No, he was very nice. He said, "Wonder how our show is going to be affected tonight."
Oh,
what time was that?
This was at 6:10, so it was right after.
So you got 6:09. You're 6:10. 6:11.
So he just railed off.
6:11.
He just railed off text.
Doubleheader is going to jack with our draft shoe now.
Shoe.
Yeah, and then corrected it. Mac, did you get one? 6:12. Please say you did.
Did not, Jay.
Damn. He's not in the circle of trust.
There's a thing called a group text.
You know what? Yeah, though? You guys make fun of me. The actual first text I got, and there were several of them last night, was Alex Gold.
Oh.
Well, he was just trying to get you going,
He goes, what's going to happen with this game? Then this.
So why don't we just put the Royals on AM and you guys on the FM? Or the Royals on FM and you guys on AM to start this straight year.
That's above our pay grade.
This is the third straight year the boys in blue have been rain delayed on draft night.
Well, I don't get paid enough to answer that question.
And I'm going to just throw it out there. That's what we should do. We got two signals. We should just split it up. Give the draft on one side, the Royals on the other, and call it a day. I mean, it's not that hard.
Bob Fesco's on TV right now.
I am. Look at that. What does Spector do in that office? This is the first time I've heard that comparison.
So let's get into it. Pick 31, yes or no, trade out. What's the likelihood the Character Concerns have for the Chiefs tonight at 31?
I tend to think they're going to at least shop around to see if they could trade up.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, I was listening when I was coming in, y'all were talking about like defensive tackle and whatnot. I think that's where you got to go.
I think so too. I want more from you on that.
And I think that it's probably looking like you might have to trade up just to ensure that you guarantee you can get the guy that you want. So I think in that case, you look to see if it's a good value. You obviously don't want to pay too much. But yeah, if you can get a good value, move up to, I don't know, mid-20s, maybe 24, maybe 26. If you can get there and ensure you get the guy that you're looking for on defensive tackle, then I think that's what you do.
All right, who do you have on that list, Chris? Because I look at the defensive tackle. We got Chris Unicero and Jay Binkley in studio, our draft experts. They're going to be out tonight at the landing with us. I look at that and I get my information just like everybody does from everybody else, right? Everybody just listens and hears right now. And everybody loves the defensive line position. So who do you love and who do you think the Chiefs can get?
Maybe Walter Nolan, but really, I've heard Walter Nolan might be top 10. So.
Yeah, I've seen everything on Walter Nolan.
He's been
top
all over.
10 to 31.
He was the number one consensus of the 96.5 crew, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And that's why he vaulted to the top 10 now because everybody here picked him and they went,
they like him.
Yeah.
So like that's possible. Derek Harmon, Binks guy. Yeah. I think he's a very good option there at 24 or 26. You know, they might be able to get Nick Scorton at 31, so you might not need to trade back, and I think he would also be a really good fit.
So are you going defensive tackles, or are you looking at it as a combined edge?
I would look at edge, too.
Okay.
Like, if edge is the best, because, like, I don't necessarily think you have to go defensive tackle.
Yeah.
You want to go where value is. And if the value is at edge rusher with Nick Scorton, that makes sense, too, because I think you could use another edge rusher.
I'm looking at some of these teams and what they would want. Chiefs at 20 trading at 24 with the Vikings, they've done a lot of business with the Chiefs in the past. That's one. Plus, that would put you in front of Houston, and then would put you in front of Buffalo again. Ooh. So screw Buffalo all you can. And then also 26, the Rams, because the Chiefs have done quite a bit of stuff with the Rams. They do move up and be those spots, but the value's not going to be as much as what you've had in the past. It's not going to cost you nearly as much to move up 24, 26.
You don't think
31.
So. Why?
No, and taking calls because just the draft. I mean, you look at, as Zavich said, 12 to 13 guys with first-round grades.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be tremendous value. And trading back, I don't know what kind of value you could get with 31, because that quarterback that you have to go up and get is not going to be there, so it's going to be a stretch. I think moving up would be an easier thing for the Chiefs as far as, because at 31, I don't think you're going to get the value
Which
they want.
Which the Giants have at the top? Is it the top of the second or top of the third round where they have the top pick?
Giants are top of the second, right?
Top of the second
round?
Sure,
top of the second.
Okay.
But, like, there's been reports that both the Browns and the Giants might look to trade back into the first round to get a quarterback. See,
and that's where I'm going with this one. Like, yeah. The Giants have that top of the second round pick. If you're right. The Chiefs at 31 and it's they want Jackson
Browns
guard,
have the first yeah. and the second round, Giants then the Giants. Right.
There it is. And then, yeah. And
third
then,
round. So, that top of the second, third round pick, if somebody calls and offers that as a package now to move up to 31 to get back in that first round, if you're the Giants, you take that top of the third round pick. Now, all of a sudden, you got, or the Chiefs, you got three picks right there at the top of the third round.
I really like the Chiefs sitting with 63 at the end of the second, then 66 at the third. I mean, that's two picks right there within three. I mean, that's, you got a bunch of guys on your board. You're sitting there going, I can probably get one or two of them.
Yeah.
And, being 63 and 66.
And day two is really, I think, going to be the sweet spot for the Chiefs to really kind of load up on talent anyways. So I think if you're moving back, if you can get another day two pick, I think there's a lot of value in that, because then you can take a little bit more risk with some of these guys out there that are like really good traits guys, but maybe weren't quite as productive.
You mentioned the defensive end. What's his name again?
Nick Scorton.
Okay, if they take him, because we know how Veach works, right? Sometimes this draft doesn't mean this year. It means years two and three down the line.
Right.
Does that mean they've given up on Felix, or does that mean they don't plan on giving Karlaftis a ton of money?
I don't necessarily think it indicates specifically either, because, like, here's the thing. The Chiefs really like rotational guys anyways. So it might be a situation where, because, like, Felix has kind of shown that he's more of a run defender to begin with, more than he is like a pure pass rusher. So you might use Felix early on downs, and then you use a guy like a Nick Scorton later on downs.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to be opposed to paying Karlaftis if he goes out and shows what he can do as a pass rusher anyway.
And here's the thing. He played at Purdue before he transferred to Texas A&M. They obviously did a lot of work scouting as far as Purdue games are concerned. And his comp in the NFL is actually George Karlaftis.
Karlaftis, and
that's
I've also seen Trey Hendrickson too.
Yeah. Which that's a bit of a stretch, but yes.
I mean, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of
George. I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, either one.
Bob Deodorant at Radio Row one time.
The one thing, the running back situation where people now have Chiefs going Trevion Henderson at 31 and the stuff that was out there yesterday, they're not going, first of all, they're not going running back in the first round again, I don't think, and they're not going Ohio State in the first round.
So if you had a crystal ball, first three picks for the Chiefs in this draft are?
Well, on our mock, I definitely like Derek Harmon or Walter Nolan, first of all, in the first round. The second round, well, I like Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee.
So you go D-line, or you go
D-line receiver or running back. And if you don't go, if you happen to go with Luther Burden or something like that in the first round, then Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle out of Florida State.
Just for a short period, you guys did have Luther Burden.
We did one of our mocks.
What happened?
Yeah. Mock 2.0 we did, but he wasn't there.
He wasn't there. He was the only one. That was the only one he was available.
He's that coveted wide receiver that we've always wanted here in Kansas City. Yeah. You know, he's
the best slot receiver in the draft.
You know, just big and like, and then watching his combine video, I'm like, oh God, you know, like he had no shirt on.
That's a guy that people could actually, the Chiefs could be fielding calls if he's still sitting there.
Yeah.
Like that is one of the, it's not gonna be a quarterback. It'd be a guy like Luther Burden or something still sitting there where teams want to position themselves to get, but then you're thinking, well, why don't the Chiefs get in? They want to be wide open. You heard from Mahomes. They want to throw the ball. That's why we had two receivers in our last mock. This is what they want to do. Get down, put points on the board, put teams away. So, yes, wide receiver still in play, in my opinion.
What about running back? Where are you guys on running back with the Chiefs?
Day two. Like a second, third round, okay. Somewhere there. There's a lot of talent in this draft. You could go all the way to fourth round if you wanted to, but I think there's a lot of talent in that right in that 63 to 66 range. Mm-hmm. There's some guy you could basically have your pick at whoever at running back almost.
What and I think style running there. Back do you want?
I do believe what Veach said though when he was talking about running backs and wide receivers, like having that returnability. So I think you can take the list of running backs and mark a lot of them off. But pass protection's huge. Mm-hmm. You have to have somebody you trust back there to make that final block for Mahomes to throw the football. So that's a number one.
Right.
Catching the ball out of the backfield and then returnability. I think you can mark a lot of running backs off that don't have those characteristics the Chiefs are looking for.
I think the big thing you're looking for is someone who's good between the tackles. Chiefs love running between the tackles. That's one of the biggest issues I think you have with Pacheco is like Pacheco doesn't really seem to have the patience to let his blocks develop in between the tackles. So a lot of times he's just running towards contact and not really trying to make anyone miss or wait till they get blocked. And so I think you want someone who, like Dylan Sampson, like we had on ours, who's really good between the tackles, very patient, does a very good job of spinning out of tackles and whatnot. Like someone like that, obviously you want them to be able to pass protect. You want them to be able to catch passes. There's really that's kind of the range.
So Max Smiling with the Tennessee pick, by the way, he didn't need to borrow Blue Chew from Drew.
He went from oh yeah to oh yes.
Oh yes.
So, but I kind of differ a little bit with you. I envision a running back for this team like an outside the tackle guy. I always thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire should have been an outside the tackle, get in space, catch the ball. Like we saw in that first Houston game with him, we all went, oh my god, this guy's going to be awesome. That's what I want in a running back.
It'd be nice. It's the Chiefs.
Does that guy exist in the draft, though?
Yeah, I mean, there's like Bashaul Tootin is a guy that, like that I think.
Didn't drop one pass out of the backfield.
Like guys like that, but like the Chiefs seem to be more resolute on running between the tackles.
But don't they have two of those guys, though, in Kareem Hunt and in Isaiah Pacheco?
Kareem's like 30, though.
Yeah, but still, but that's why you're going to use him between tackles
You got to get younger at that position.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm thinking more for today. You're thinking more for tomorrow.
I also think like whoever you bring in can be a contributor now. Yeah. Like running back is not a position you need to like sit a guy for.
Okay. I think we're viewing the position. I'm looking at like today. And you're looking as you should.
Yeah. Like I think
down the line. A couple of years. Okay.
Like, let's say you bring in I think Dylan Sampson could be a contributor today. Like I think he could be. I think he could compete to a point where he could challenge Isaiah Pacheco for the starting.
He's a three down type of back you can keep in there, but being explosive. I mean, you put the explosiveness back in the Chiefs offense, which I think they're going to do. Certainly he's a player that could do that.
I was telling people that yesterday. I said, it's going to be an aerial attack this year. Like they want to go to the air and they want to have fun. And you know, it's senior year for Travis Kelce, right? I mean, you want to have fun your senior year. You want to do, you know, all the stuff that you love to do before everybody goes their separate ways. That's what this is. This is the senior year for the Chiefs. Okay. It's never going to be like this again. It's American Pie. Stifler's mom's going to show up like the whole nine yards, right? Like that's what this year is. So you want to have the best year ever. I think they're going to have a lot of fun on offense because it is their final year altogether.
And that's why I think running back is a position they got to hit on. Because the best that we've seen from this offense was when they had a really good running game. Kareem Hunt was back there. He could run. He could catch passes. He could pass block. Like, that was the best offense we've seen from him. And that's why I think you got to get another running back like that.
And we had two receivers in our last mock, too. So it's about the offense this year, in my opinion.
You guys had Worthy last year, didn't you?
We had Worthy originally back in September.
Yeah, and our first mock we did.
We went off when he signed Hollywood because they were basically the same type of guys. So we kind of backed off Worthy.
He was our second receiver that we had there, but we took A.D. Mitchell just because the size-speed combo. But we were very happy with Xavier Worthy.
Our very first mock was Xavier Worthy back in September.
Yeah,
these guys, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, everybody's dogging him. Certain guys here kind of like Mahomes.
Yeah, because you had Watson that year.
No, I didn't.
So I want to bring this up because we talk about Travis Kelce. We talk about tight ends in the draft. There's some people who think maybe the Chiefs draft a tight end this year. I don't think they will. Maybe they do. But Tyler Warren's a guy that you've been in love with since you've seen him catch a football at Penn State.
This year's Brock Bowers, the man.
Is he a top 10 pick in the draft this year?
Absolutely.
He is?
Tyler Warren's a game changer, in my opinion. Obviously, you're not going to get him, but it reminds me of Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, we build him up, have a ton of success. He did. I mean, he was electric last year. And to me, Tyler Warren is your Brock Bowers this year.
I like Warren. I think he's a great talent. I do think he has an upside over Brock Bowers. I don't think we're going to get that his rookie year, though.
Okay.
Because I just think there's going to, like, first off, he's really not that great of a pass blocker. And I do think that's going to limit his usage out there. But I do really like his upside as a pass catcher, but I think it's going to take him a year.
Interesting with the tight ends, because some people think that we need a tight end. I personally don't think we need a tight end. You paid Noah Gray, you got Wiley on the roster, and I'm always one of those, like, I'm not going to go try to find a replacement for Mahomes. I'm not going to try to find a replacement for Chris Jones, for Patrick, or for Travis Kelce, for Bobby Witt Jr., for Salvi. Like, the great players, you just don't try to find replacements for, because they're never going to live up to that.
What helps that Kelsey's coming back? Like, that takes that position off, because I do think that would have been a real priority had he retired.
But why do we have to do that? Why can't we just, like, change and go with, like, all right, well, we got seven wide receivers as opposed to three wide receivers at a tight end.
I don't necessarily, and I agree with you, I don't necessarily think they have to replace Kelce.
Yeah.
Because like you said,
you can't.
They have no under contract. You do have Jared Wiley. I think they're going to want to see what they have with him. And, like, you already are kind of starting to replace Kelce anyways with Rashee Rice. Like, the way that he was used was exactly the same way that they're using Travis Kelce as a when he was split out wide like that.
Cut the dirty passes.
Yeah, so it's like he's done very good at those option routes. So it's like
I think it's a great comparison.
So I think you can do that with Rashee, and with maybe you decide to take another receiver like that, so you can kind of have another guy who has that style of play. So I don't necessarily think you need to get a tight end, but if there is a guy that you like, that you think has the level of athleticism that could replicate what Kelce has done in the league, then I think you go get him. But I don't think you're sitting around there looking, we got to get another Kelce, because that's not a good way to draft.
We had Carrington in here yesterday, and I asked him, what team do you think is, like, you know, some team outside the Chiefs that you'll watch to see what they do? He said Dallas. Who do you guys think is a team in this year's draft where it's kind of a pretty important draft for them?
I think the Chargers are someone to look at, too, for what – kind of what they need. They lose Bosa to Buffalo. They still need wide receiver help. I mean, they do go get Ladd McConkey last year, but I think their positions where the Chiefs
maybe that
would
guy from TCU will catch a ball for him this year instead of dropping it.
He's not doing it. He's going to drop balls.
He is washed.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. Every single pass was thrown to that guy. He
on record, I was really hoping the Chiefs would have gotten him back then out of TCU.
I think Buffalo could be. He dropped too many passes.
I think Buffalo could be a thorn in the side.
Imagine Patrick Mahomes with that dude.
I'll say this. The Chargers are a good one. The Bills for me. Because the Bills, I think, are going to play defense on the Chiefs all draft.
Okay.
I think the Bills are going to try to trade up and take whoever they think the Chiefs are going to take.
Dumb.
I know it's dumb, but like...
to take Veach's call. Did they block it already? Or
like, scam likely.
Girlfriend. Yeah, baby, what's up?
They've been getting owned by Veach now for 8 years.
Oh, Veach is like spanking Buffalo.
They're going to do everything they can to try to play defense against the Chiefs.
But,
they're going to take best available defensive lineman
that
they can.
Last year, though, and they were sitting there landing.
They traded Buffalo. But the thing is they thought they were smarter than the Chiefs, so they're like, oh, he's 165 pounds. He's not going to be good. And then he was better than the guy they took.
But Buffalo's dumb. I just don't think that's the way you operate in a draft. Like, playing defense against somebody else, I mean, that...
I agree with you. But I think
kicking your ass every year when it matters.
Yeah, like, you kind of get jaded.
You're
going to
drive
bit.
Yourself nuts, though. Like, you're going to be in the corner in a straitjacket rocking back and forth going, Brett Veach. It's going to drive you to that level.
When they've been whooping your ass in the playoffs as long as they have been, then that sometimes it causes you to be a little irrational. I think that's what that
enough
one may happen
is enough
Bills.
And it's time for a change.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it reminds
that's exactly
me of.
What it is. Yeah.
Okay. So last year, Michael Penix was the big move. I remember being at the landing and he moved and the whole place was like watching Mahomes in the press box do something special. Everybody's like, whoa, they have Kirk Cousins. Uh-huh. Is there a move like that this year in the draft where it's going to be like, you two both who do this for 7 months of the year and you're like, holy cow, again, like, this is it. This is the move.
If it was, it would be like a Jalen Milroe first round. That would be, which is possible.
He's Michael Vick, by the way.
He's not.
Okay. He's the best running quarterback with the ball.
He is Anthony Richardson without the hype.
He's extremely inaccurate. I don't have any text that would send you during the season.
Oh,
my God, you see Milroe?
He was bad.
At the broad side of a bar.
He was real bad.
Clearly, Tom Pelissero got a text from the agent for Jalen Milroe the other day and put out that's where it's coming from. I'm just going to call it what it is. These guys get text. You do a favor for the agent. They'll do a favor for you later on. They'll give you something. Hey, man, say my guy's pretty good. So Pelissero sees his text machine, and it's some agent that represents Milroe. And he goes, he's a pretty good runner. Please say he's a really good runner, as good as Michael Vick. So he puts that out there, to which I go, but can he throw? Because I don't care if a quarterback can run the football. can they throw? Can they make those throws? Can they pass at this level? And so when I heard that about Jalen Milroe, I'm like, okay, I kind of like him. The Giants seemingly have liked him. They may want to trade back into the first round to potentially get him. And then I see the agent, you know, propaganda that was flipped to Tom Pelissero about he's a good running quarterback, and that makes me go, oh, God, he's not a thrower.
Well, I mean, I think if you watch his film, like, he's got the arm. He just doesn't have the accuracy. His ball placement was really terrible. But he's a guy, if he goes to a team that already has a quarterback and he can sit behind him, like a la Aaron Rodgers, for a few years and develop, he might actually be good. But if he goes to a team like the Giants that – you got two veteran quarterbacks on 1 year deals. And then I'm sure after that, if they were to take Milroe, they're going to push him out in year two and say, here, go out and do it.
Well, he's impressive too, because his hands grew half an inch.
Yeah, from half the senior bowl to the pro day.
Yeah, senior bowl. Wow.
Half an inch. Will Campbell at LSU, his arms grew an inch too.
I think he's, if he's going to have success, he's got to sit behind someone. He cannot be the quarterback from day one.
Right. I think that's the narrative for every quarterback in this draft.
I think Cam Ward can start from day one.
Okay.
I think maybe even Shador too, but those are the only two I would ever even attempt to start from day one.
And I think they would both benefit more by sitting behind somebody. Probably. Obviously, you can't put Ward behind Will Levis, because then that just screams like week three, you're now the starter.
I think Cam Ward is better than Will Levis.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Talent-wise, everything is.
Yeah.
And I think Michael Penix is better than all of them.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
He's also older than all of them.
Yeah. He also has bad injury issues. So that's something that really, I think
the two sexiest names are Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, but Ashton Jeanty, a running back that is, you know, maybe the Bijan Robinson, the Jahmyr Gibbs type of hype. What's his comp in the league? I know we hate to do this because it's not fair to the athlete.
Jeanty? Man. I would say maybe a Mojo Drew type.
Okay.
Because he's smaller, but he kind of runs like a power back.
Jacksonville loves hearing that.
Yeah, he kind of runs like a power back. Like he's not afraid. Like, one of his big things was breaking tackles when he was at the collegiate level. That was like his big, he bounce off a guy and just keep going.
A little bowling ball
type. Yeah, he's got kind of a bowling ball type. He's also shifty too, and he can make guys miss, but he's not afraid to lower the shoulder and just bounce through a tackle and keep going. Mm-hmm. So I would say Mojo Drew.
His one comparison, I think NFL.com had him ladies early, was LT.
See, LT wasn't really that runner.
But here's the one thing with Jeanty, though. I mean, it's great. He did not run at the combine. Mm-hmm. He did not run his pro day. He did the thing where he runs between the bags and stuff, but he didn't do what people kind of want him to do.
He's not that fast.
Well, he's not. So, I mean, you didn't do these things like the vertical and stuff like this. Not only the combine, the pro day, what are you hiding?
So are you writing him off then?
No, I think he's going to be good. I don't think it's worth taking in the top five, which a team will do. I never think a running back is that good to do unless it's Barry Sanders.
Could he be Nick Chubb?
Yeah, probably.
I think Omarion Hampton has a better chance of being Nick Chubb.
I like
Hampton better than
me too.
Jeanty.
I want to ask each of you guys this question separately. Give me your top five picks in this draft. If like position didn't matter, team didn't matter, who would you pick number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 overall? Because I think that matters.
Okay. For me, I would go Travis Hunter.
Okay.
I would go Abdul Carter.
Okay.
I would go Teterowa McMillan. I would go Tyler Warren. And then I would go Walter Nolan.
Mm. I have no problem with that list. I'd probably go Derek Carmen over Nolan, but Travis Hunter to me is the best player. Abdul Carter would be number two in that situation. I would love to say offensive lineman. I'd put Mimbu, even though he's on the right side, there at number six.
Where do you put the first quarterback on your list of best available? You know, they do the best available.
Probably
right?
Just outside the top 10.
Okay.
Like
so like 11, 12?
Yeah, probably somewhere 12. in that 11 to 15 range.
Is there any chance, any chance Dallas takes Shador Sanders at 12?
No,
I think it's a great deal. I'm taking a running back, though.
You just spent a lot of money. Watch out for running back. Watch out for Hampton, but also watch out for Jihad Campbell.
Oh, they're gonna try to make up because they didn't take a running back last year. Oh God,
Teterowa McMillan, somebody like that.
That's recipe for failure. But here's my Dallas scenario: George Pickens to Dallas, Dak Prescott to Pittsburgh, Shador Sanders gets drafted by the Cowboys.
I think that's a downgraded quarterback.
I do too.
I like Shador, but
it's a major downgrade. I don't like either one of those quarterbacks, but Jerry likes a circus. Jerry likes a show. And now you've got Brian Schottenheimer, as Dusty said.
You got to get a lot more than what you're getting if you're trading.
No. That's just the basis of the trade. But then you have Brian Schottenheimer, as Dusty says, starts 1-7. The Deion rumor startup. It's great for what we do.
I mean, it's great for us. I don't think that would be good personnel.
Well, Dallas hasn't made a good decision in 30 years.
Jerry says he has a brain of a 40-year-old, though. It tested his brain.
Okay. No, he didn't.
It's 40-year-old brain.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of 40-year-olds that make terrible decisions in their life. 56-year-olds
that make terrible decisions as well. Yeah. We talked about one local kid in Luther Burden. I want to bring up another one that's local, where you guys think he goes and what his future could be in the NFL. We're talking to Binkley Nocero, the Character Concerns guys, here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty. Don't forget Alex, Cody, and Drew. They got a long one today. They got 2 hours. And then Carrie doesn't even have to show up to work today.
He's here, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw him on the news earlier. That means he's doing double duty.
He's here,
today.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So we talked about Luther Burden.
Does he know there's a doubleheader today?
He's trying to get 4 fist bumps from Cody Tapp today. That's his goal.
4 fist bumps?
Plus 1,200. There you go.
What's the, I don't understand, to himself?
Yep.
That's weird. all right. Maybe there's a future collab and a song there with Cody and CDOT.
I hope not.
Anyways,
that would be terrible.
Real deal, Devin Neal.
Yeah,
where's this kid going, and who's going to be the lucky team to get him as their running back?
I think the 4th or 5th rounds where Devin Neal is going to go. It's a guy. It's not exactly a burner that you would see on the field and stuff, but the hands pretty productive. What, 24 catches last year? He had 3 years over 1,000 yards. Devin Neal, I think, could be a decent running back for somebody.
He's a decent.
I like
pass
Giddens
blocker.
Better from the local guys.
J.R. Giddens was good. Yeah.
Not J.R. D.G. Giddens.
Yeah, no, I like Devin Neal probably, 4th, 5th round, maybe late 3rd round at the earliest. But he is a very, very talented back. He can catch the ball, which is probably his biggest asset at the next
level. Because a lot of fans that listen to these shows, they keep bringing it. I'm sure you guys see it when you do the text line. Yeah. Like Devin Neal, the Chiefs?
Every time we've done one of these draft specials, there's always one texter texting in Devin Neal to the Chiefs.
Oh, I'm sure if you do this show in Texas, it's whatever Texas running back to
the
Cowboys.
It'll be Jaden Blue.
Yeah, whoever. Yeah, that's just the way we
There's not
work.
As many Melo Dodsons and Kobe Bryant.
Not quite as many, because ever since those 40 times came out, not quite as many.
Nobody wants Kobe Dodson. Bryant?
They're probably
the combine
play.
40 times slowed him down. He's really? A mid-round guy.
Probably going to have to – might have to
maybe
play
move
safety.
The safety, yeah.
Might have to play safety.
So what, though? Why is that such a big deal?
Like, it's not – part of it is
– money.
Safety's not as valued. Yeah, money. Right. You know, it's not as valued as corner is. And, you know, you probably don't need to take a safety this year if you're the Chiefs. If you do, you're taking one late. Yeah. So I think that's probably one of the big issues with them.
Will Howard, he getting drafted?
I think so.
Yeah, probably a throwaway.
He's
pick.
The best quarterback in the draft, from what he said.
Yeah, he was pretty proud of himself during those path to draft. Hey, like, I'm going to make every team regret not taking me.
I can
sit on a bench anywhere.
I respect his confidence.
Yeah,
but I think if you watch him play football, he might be selling insurance.
Man won the national championship, my friend. Like, let's go. School led him to a title.
Not
he did. And he had great receivers, too. Nick Book and Jeremiah Smith, who was the unicorn wide receiver.
Two running backs in the backfield that are going to go in the
pretty
draft
good offensive
year.
Tackle. Right. That's a first-round pick as well. Yeah. Hey, so what? He's still the quarterback.
So Chris and I were talking off the show on the commercial break. I know this is like your Christmas. This is where you get really horny. But I feel like for a Chiefs perspective as a fan, Friday night's when you're locked in. I know tonight's night one, and I know it's the big ordeal and the fireworks and all that sort of stuff. But am I wrong about that?
No, it's my favorite. Day two's my favorite because that board kind of resets itself. That second
the resetting of the board is so refreshing.
So you've got to wear jeans on Friday.
Probably, yeah. Good thing not borrow Blue Chew from Drew. You know, okay. The last day of the draft's fun. That's obviously where the Chiefs make a lot of productions from their draft picks in day three. But day two is more fun.
And then Sunday's the big day where we get all the undrafted rookie free agents, and you never know who you're going to get.
Chris,
some of those guys will sign Saturday night. All the insiders are going to start tweeting out a bunch of lists of players that are signing with them right after the draft.
I also like when they start telling people, do not draft me, because they know they're signing undrafted with Kansas City or someplace.
You're better off not being drafted in the seventh round.
You can get more money that way, a lot of these guys now get more guaranteed money if they go undrafted, because that's how you get lured over to a specific team.
Absolutely, and then you can kind of pick where you want to go too.
Right, exactly. And at that point, if you're in the seventh round, I think I'd much rather just get to pick where I go and potentially be able to make a little bit more guaranteed money.
No doubt. Yeah.
Who slides the most in the draft?
Shador.
I probably Shador.
So you think he's going outside of the top 15. So a lot of people think now 21st.
21, Pittsburgh. Shador's going to be that guy that they keep talking about throughout the draft process. He keeps sliding.
I think Josh Simmons. I think the tackle from Ohio State, Josh Simmons, I think he probably – because I think there's a lot of people worried more about that knee than we know about.
Well, let's talk about him. If he's there at 31, are you taking him?
No.
Okay, why? Tell me why.
Give them the reasoning that we've been pushing.
Well, Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, you don't like Ohio State.
Injured.
Veach doesn't like Ohio State.
He was injured back in October. He did not play throughout the playoffs for Ohio State, your Buckeyes. Didn't play for him in the national title game. Didn't play at all. He's going to be ready. They say, his agent says, he's going to be ready by August, by training camp.
But you don't need him this year. Like, he's a good redshirt next year.
No, you don't, but are the Chiefs in position to not need somebody this year? Yeah. I don't think they are.
Also, I think if you're going to redshirt someone, get someone with better traits, like a Charles Grant, you know, someone like that who fits the measurables that the Chiefs like. Because Josh Simmons doesn't quite have the length that the Chiefs usually look for in the draft. So it's like, get someone, if you're going to redshirt someone anyways, get someone that's going to have the measurables you actually want instead of forcing things just because some mock drafter told you to take it.
Fair point. No, that's a great point, Chris, because we see these mock drafts, we assume these players are good, and then you can give us the information like you guys are giving, and you're changing my mind.
Well, they brought
him
in for another top 30 visit, which usually you do that for their medicals because they were concerned about it. So if he came in here, the Chiefs, like, no, not necessarily. They came in, where are you sitting? How good are you feeling now? When do you expect to play? But they did bring him in for one of those visits, and they've drafted a few of those guys with top 30 visits. The year before, they got Carson Steele. He came in for top 30, wasn't drafted, undrafted. And they brought in Rashee Rice 2 years ago. B.J. Thompson ended up drafting. They brought Kingsley in for a top 30 visit, ended up drafting him. But the list of are pretty interesting for their top 30 pick.
Let's say Josh Simmons falls to 63. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with him at 63. Okay. Just like I was fine with Kingsley last year. But you remember, like, the rumors last year were that Kingsley was 32. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell no. Like, I'm not taking Kingsley at 32. 1 year at left tackle, definitely showed some weakness at left tackle. 1 year power five. Yeah, no. I'm good.
Charles Grant with a William Mary.
Yeah,
and Mitch Holtus liked
him. Mitch Holtus likes him too.
If you get Simmons at 63, I'm fine with that. But I'm not cool with it at 31 because I think you can do better than
Say no to Ohio State.
Yeah, that's what it is. Brett just doesn't like Ohio State. We'll have a conversation about
that. Who do you want to portray in the future as this will be the biggest bust in this draft? Because these two guys said
Travis Hunter.
And I said Travis.
I'm just saying what they said. I don't believe that.
These two said
yes. But I think when you look at the term bust, it's a guy that's taken in the top five that doesn't produce to the level that you need him to produce.
I think Travis Hunter's going to be great. So I don't agree.
Right. Travis Hunter will be one of the biggest busts in NFL history.
You know who I think has a good chance? Will Campbell. Out of LSU. I don't think he's a tackle. I think he's going to have to move into guard. But something about it just doesn't feel right.
Isn't it harder to have a serviceable right guard in the NFL for a long time, not tough tackle?
Yeah, like, is that a bust, though, if you become a serviceable guy?
But my thing is if you're serviceable and you go top 10, and like let's say you're drafted as a tackle, you have to move inside the guard, and you're just okay, like I still think that's a bust.
At 53% of these cats are going to fail. Okay. Yeah, that's the number. Right?
You don't have to get him early. Look at Nick Allegretti, starting for Washington, three-time Super Bowl winner. Chiefs got him in the seventh round. Andrew Wiley, starting right tackle for Washington the Commanders. That's considered one of the best offensive lines in football now that they've added Tunsil, not even drafted by the Chiefs. So The Chiefs will take some project like offensive linemen.
Guard is just a position that's really low value. Like, you don't need to go first round for a guard. So if you're talking about taking a guard top 10, to me, and if he's just okay, I think that's a bust.
That's why the Chiefs are so quick on Jalen Moore.
Yeah.
In free agency. That's why they were so quick on left tackle.
They didn't like any of them. Right. Which is makes me think like the money, as we were talking about with Alex, you know, it's minus money that they're going to take an offensive lineman with their first pick. Everything else is plus money.
Get that plus money.
Absolutely.
Defensive line, get that plus money.
All right, last time on record at 9:55 in the morning, the Chiefs are taking who with their first pick?
Derek Harmon.
Okay. The Character Concerns crew. Thanks, guys, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having us on.
Thanks, guys.
Derek Harmon.
Are you guys going to be up at the landing tonight?
Yeah, we will definitely be there. We'll see y'all up there.
And we're going to feast.
You heard our mock draft, didn't you?
I did. I like it.
Pretzels, jalapeno bites, and the Big Pig Burger.
Totally into that.
Pace yourself.
Draft menu. Okay.
Stay focused, Binkley. Hey, coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2, but as always, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. Kansas City, it's simply cool to care. Stay kind, stay safe, and enjoy the rest of your draft coverage here on 96.5 The Fan. Talk to you tomorrow.